Turn to Numbers chapter 22. This is a familiar passage, but it also deals with the children of Israel. It takes them 40 years for them to go to the promised land. We could just take them a few months to reach there. But because of their disobedience, for 2 years, they sit at the base of Mount Sinai, and now they're ready to go to the promised land. What a journey. Many of us here, you know, when we give our lives to Christ, it happened like this. Some of us, it take years and years and years for the Lord to work through our heart. And finally, we submit. So we all are considered a work in progress. You know, some might be faster than others. Like me, I'm very slow because I've been disobedient for a very long time and I'm still being disobedient. So it's a blessing, you know, for each and every one of us to know that when we have a relationship with Christ, how our lives change and how our lives are being transformed into God's image of us. He knows our wants, he knows our needs, he knows our desires. But it's up to us. Do we want it? Do we want to make that change in our life so that we could have a closer relationship, you know, with Christ? Or do we want to be like Balaam? You know, you could pretend, you could pretend, you could pretend. But guess what? Your sin will find you out. You can't run and hide. None of us could. Our sin will find us out. And we see it here in this chapter. You know, I was thinking of doing something else. Some other chapter, you know, that have been on the missions field and so on and teaching. And when Pastor Steve told me about that he's in Numbers and Numbers 22, I said, should I? But the Lord just lead me to it. You know, I have to be obedient. You know, just as you guys have to be obedient. So here it is in, this is divided into five parts that we're going to expound on tonight. First of all, we see that in John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. It's the faith that we need in Jesus Christ, you know, for that bite of sin that we face. So look at the first six verses. Balak's desire for Balaam in verse 1 to 6. Then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab, on the side of the Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel has done to the Amorites. And Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. So Moab said to the elders of Midian, now this company will lick up everything around us as an ox lick up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. Then he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, and Petro, which is near the river in the land of the sons of the people, to call him, saying, look, a people has come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth and are settling next to me. Therefore, please come out at once. Curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land, for I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. Now this is, you know, very, very strange, because here it is that they were sick to their stomachs. You know what I mean? Because as they see the Israelites come in, you know, they have defeated the Amorites. And here it is that they're coming into the Moabites area and also the Midianites. But God have a way of protecting his people because they are also the descendants of Abraham. And back in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 1 to 19, God told Moses that these people, they are Abraham descendants and they should be protected. But yet still, they face fear. They were fearful that Moses would destroy them. Aren't we like that today in our lives? We bring fear upon ourselves. I remember going to Honduras. And it have people, they are so consumed about negative things. You go into Honduras, that's a dangerous country. Look out, you know, things might happen to you. You know, sometimes people need to just shut up. Really. Because right here in America is one of the most dangerous countries in the world. Look at what we just experienced. How many people get killed recently? 30-something people in two different areas. But we're talking about Central and South America and these Caribbean islands that people are fearful of. And the same thing we see here. You know what I mean? They were fearful of the Israelites. People bring fear upon themselves. It's not a question of fear. You know, we serve a God. You know, God told Moses not to. You see, Moses had that interest in not to harm them. Just as God, we are protected. When we go on a mission field, the Lord protect us. That no harm or danger will come to us because we serve in him. Yeah, we might get sick, you know, just as how many got, you know, stomach virus and vomiting. But the Lord protect us. That area that we was in was one of the most safest areas. We actually walk, you know, after we had dinner in the night to the hotel room. We didn't feel no danger. As many people who never went on a missions field will tell you, dangerous. And you know it's good to tell them, God love you, so do I. Because that's the only way that people understand the power of God when we say yes. Because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And when people complain and they moan and they groan, you know the reason why I'm saying that is because we are so thankful and grateful for what we have here that when we travel and go to areas that what people don't have, you understand, we come back now with a desire to serve more, just as how some of us here who went to South Dakota right here in America to see, you know what I mean, how these people live. You know, they live in fear, they live under drugs, they're persecuted. In Hebrews 13:6, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can man do to me? If I know that I have the Lord with me always. In 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what the Lord has given us. The only person that we should really fear is the Lord because he could take us out like that. In Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes. So who is in control? Who is in control? The Lord. He's in control of everything in our lives. Everything, what we say, what we do, how we act. He's in charge. So then why should we fear man? Just sidetracking this. My wife had warned me in Trinidad. And Mark is here, he will tell you. I used to say that all the time in the pulpit. You know, I say, if something happened to me here, what could man do? The most he could do is to kill me. But if he kill me now, I know I'm going to heaven. So I won't have no more pain and no more suffering. And she tell me, you know, I need to stop saying that. And guess what happened? Same thing happened. I was held up at gunpoint. But I didn't fear the guy who had that gun pointed at me. You know what my son and I was doing when we hold hands? We was praying for him. That he will spare our lives, that he will spare the lives of of Mark and all those who are on the compound. That's what we are praying for. And also we are praying for his salvation. Because I didn't fear what would have happened to me then. And that's what we need to do. The Lord has given us, you know, that power, sound mind, not to fear man. He have a work for all of us to do. Every one of us. You see, when we look and we examine Balaam, who he was a sorcerer, he was a prophet, a pagan prophet. He was not a believer. You know, many times we have this saying among ourselves as Christians, which is so false, that God will only speak to us as who believe. That is a blatant lie. Because here, God speaks to Balaam, who is an unbeliever. And God could use any one of us who does not believe to bring glory unto him, to show us. And we see it in the secular world. God speaks to people who does not believe to teach us a lesson. So that statement where you say that God is only speak to believers, that's a lie in the pit of hell. That's why sometimes, you know what I mean, we have to examine ourselves, you know, about the truth, how God works in our lives. So here it is that in verse 5, then he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at the Petra, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people. So here it is that Balak, the king of the Moabites, sent messengers, right? So that they invite Balaam to come. Also because of this prophet. This prophet, you know, whatever this prophet says, you know, it will either come to pass, to come to fruition. So he believed in the prophet, but this was a false prophet. And look at it in verse 7 to 21. This is that God sent, that Balak sent messengers. Now, group one, look at verse 7 to 14. Could I get a bottle of water, please? So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with a diviner's fee in their hands. So they had money now to give to Balaam, you know, to bribe him, to offer him something, you know, that is worth. And they came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak. And he said to them, lodge here tonight, and I'll bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me. So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. Then God came to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? So you see here now that God's speaking now to Balaam, an unbeliever. And said, who is these men? Who is this water to? Who is these men? So Balaam said to God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me saying, look, a people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and drive them out. And God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. So Balaam rose in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you. And the princes and Moab rose and went to Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. So here is this unbeliever actually listening to God. God spoke to him and he believed. And he did not go with them. How much times God has speak to us through his word? We know what he's speaking to us about. We know that the things that we're doing, that if we turn to the left, is a problem. We're going in danger. danger zone. But yet still, we're still going and do it. How much times that the Lord will have to speak to us for us to realize, you understand, that sin will lead to destruction in our lives. Let me share this with you. I know some of you guys who have, you know, left the program, graduated, and so on. How many guys have left this program over the years and have actually done good? What is the percentage? I'll tell you, it's less than 2%. You know why? Because of disobedience. Because they want to do their own thing. You graduate? Yes, you graduate, man. I have freedom now. I could go out. Nobody could tell me now to go and drink and party and lime and hang out with girls and do all these things. Nobody could tell me all that. But guess what has happened? You know. You know, you know, you know. And when something happened, guess what? Come right back. Come right back. Why? Because you're going to see it here that Balaam was not even a believer. The Lord spoke to him. You understand? He listened to the Lord, but was he faithful? Did he have a relationship with the Lord? Did he continue to be faithful? The answer is no. Because of greed. Because of greed. Because he wanted to do his own thing. What does Proverbs 3:5 say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not what? On your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will or shall direct your path. How much times we want to do our own thing and expect the results to be the same? You know, I had to learn the hard way just as you guys. I'm considered one of the chief knuckleheads here. You know how much times I've been disobedient? Over and over and over. And the more I've been disobedient, is the more the Lord just keep knocking me down. Until I decide I will follow you. No turning back. No turning back. And I've seen the rewards of that. Do I still sin? Oh, absolutely. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us. You know, but sometimes I say, Lord, why me? And sometimes, you know what I mean, the answer is, why not you? You know, so we all go through that. You see, God answered him. God answered him because he was a prophet for hire. God uses unbelievers to accomplish his plan and his will. God is in control. He has always been in control and he will continue to be in control in everything. In Ephesians 1:11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him, who works all things, that's some things, all things, according to the counsel of his will. What did he tell him? Don't go, don't curse. And he did what God tell him to do. Be patient. See, God has not finished a work in none of us. And he always say, be patient. Listen to his voice. Listen to his work. I could tell you this. Mark could tell you, because he's from Trinidad, this is me, he has been in the program longer than anybody else. In the Caribbean, people worship the Lord a lot different than you here. I just be sad. I mean, even in Honduras or anywhere we go, people have a heart of worship for the Lord. You guys, when all they come here to worship, all they come here with all their problems, and it's like this. Where is the joy? Where is that joy of saying to yourself, you know, the Lord is my keeper, the Lord is my helper. You understand? I will come to worship him each and every day. Where's that joy? Where's that joy? You know, I have to be careful in certain words I use because sometimes it's misconstrued as I am saying things that is not pleasing and acceptable to the ears. And I'm not condemning how you worship, because you could worship the Lord, you know, in any way. But you need to have that joy in you. Because if you say yes to Jesus Christ, that joy in you is supposed to be in you, praising the Lord. Praising Him at all times. You know, Mark will tell you, I'm using Mark as a reference because, you know, here, every single day, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Every day. Them guys and them know that in the program. Every single day is a day of rejoicing. Because it's the Lord who wake you up. It's the Lord who provide for you. It's the Lord who give you everything that you need. That's why we had to have that joy in us. And it's not about culture, you know. Because here it is. I mean, if this does not affect you, something had to be wrong with your relationship with Christ. Because this is exactly what I've seen here. Imagine here with Balaam, you know, his attitude, the things that what all you were studying about greed. You know, he wanted the Lord. He didn't agree with what the Lord's saying. Hey, don't go. Stay. He didn't agree to that, you know. Because he was looking for the Lord to say something different. When the Lord speaks to us, the Lord don't speak to us twice and three times. The Lord speaks to us once, and it's for us to accept it or reject it. And we see here how he rejected what the Lord said. Look at the second group in verse 15 to 22. Then Balak again sent princes more numerous and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, "Thus says Balak, the son of Zippor, please let nothing hinder you from coming to me. For I will certainly honor you greatly." You know what he's talking about? Honor you greatly. It's all about that. Money, money, money. "And I will do whatever you say to me. Therefore, please come. Curse these people for me." He wanted him to curse the Israelites because they were so powerful. You understand? But he didn't realize that they were descendants that God promises to Moses that they should not be harmed. But he didn't understand that. You understand? He thought he could have buy his way. How much of us try to buy our way out of stuff? We do that on a daily basis. We want to buy. You know what I mean? Hey, you do something wrong. You know, I ain't going to tell the truth. You know, I'm going to go in there and say, let me go and tell the overseer, you know what I mean? Hey, this thing, this and that happened. You know it's not a truth, but you're trying to buy your way out of, you know, your problem. But one sin leads to another, and it goes to another, and guess what happened? Your sin find you out. And that's what we see here. "For I certainly honor you greatly, and I'll do whatever you say to me. Therefore, please come, curse these people for me." Then Balaam answered and said to his servants of Balak, "Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I will not go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now, therefore, please you also stay here tonight that I may know what more the Lord will say to me." So you see, he's looking for an answer for the Lord already told him to not to go. But now because of the bribe, now because silver and gold, you understand? Now he wants to go and seek the Lord for another answer, for the Lord to hopefully that the Lord might say, "Go." You see how disobedient he is? We are all we hear from the Lord. The Lord said, "No, don't go. Don't curse the people." But yet still, he's still seeking an answer from the Lord. See, he had a problem, a big problem. And we know that's greed. As greed. In 2 Peter 2:15, "They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of who loved the wages of unrighteousness." In Jude 11, "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily." Greedily. In the era of Balaam. So you see, how the Bible acknowledged the unrighteousness, the sin in Balaam's life, because his heart was not right. You know, many of us here, we profess to be Christians, we profess to be holy, we profess to be all this nice thing. But as soon as we leave in the presence of the Lord, or we are on our own way, we see the true us come out because we are not grounded in the Word of God. The true us will actually show when we face the outside world. That's why I say, don't blame the program. Program had nothing to do with it. It's all about your relationship with Christ that matters. Nothing else. Though Balak were to give his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now, therefore, please, you also stay here tonight that I may know what more the Lord will say to me. And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men come to you, call, rise, and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you, you shall do. So you know what he did? Look at verse 21. So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Did the Lord tell him to go? You know what the Lord said? If the men approach you, did the men approach him? What did he do? That's our problem. Men, silver and gold, riches. I inquired to the Lord didn't answer me again. You know? So I interpret this thing as to go. The Lord said, if the men come to call you, rise and go. Men didn't come to call him. What do? He do his own thing. He's gone, right? Many of us like that. Come out of the presence of the Lord. The Lord says, stay. And yet still, we want to go. We want to go and do our own thing. We want to go and hang out. Go with friends. When we go with friends and we're hanging out, next thing you know, a friend will encourage you, hey, bro, come and take a little drink with me now, a little smoke. Nah, bro, I just come out from a program here. You know, I can't supposed to do it. Friend will say, what am I, a little woozy? No, come and take a little thing, man. See, okay, I'll try one little thing, man. I'll try a little smoke. Go on, you try a little smoke. Hey, feel good. Hey, bro, you still have more? You're gone for another one. And when you're gone for another one and you get high, problems start. Pastor Steve, I got myself in trouble. Could I come back? Is that what we do? That's what we do. And what Pastor Steve will tell you, hey, bro, yeah, you're welcome to come back, but you know, we have a lot more knuckleheads than you. You don't listen. Take you to the word. Share the word with you. As he shared the word with you, man, that program ain't good, you know. Man, is that too much of problems here? You wouldn't take the responsibility of your own action, but you want to take the responsibility of others and blame others. That's what we see here. Thank God my wife is not here, because I always say this. Married men, especially to married men, learn to listen to your wives. Learn to respect them. Learn to love them. Because majority of the times, the Lord speaks to them to speak to us. That's why we are knuckleheads. That's why the Lord speaks to men in the Bible more than women. And I will tell you this, you know, men are more gossipers than women. We gossip more. So, married men, please, listen to your wives. respect them, love them, honor them. I had to learn the hard way. And still I still do wrong. I still don't listen sometimes. But we serve a God who give us a helpmate there that is the best thing that ever happened to all of us. You know as the greed is a byproduct of what? A lack of contentment. Sometimes we want more, sometimes we want something different. Let me try the grass on the other side to see if it's greener. And when we go on the grass on the other side, you say, man, that grass is like brown as ever. You run right back. You never notice something about how United States make up? In the Northeast, everything here is green. As soon as they start going west, what do you start finding? Desert. Lack of life. Dead. Earthquakes. All kind of things happen in the West. But life is here in the Midwest, in the Middle East. Greenery. Springtime. All these nice things that we have here. That doesn't mean to say that the West is bad. Eh? I love the West. I like to travel, to California and those areas. In fact, I'll be traveling to Albuquerque next month to go and teach in one of the churches there. So, I ain't complaining about that. Turn to Philippians chapter 4 for me. I know Pastor John is in the book of Philippians, so I won't take away anything much from what he's teaching. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Not that I speak in regards to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. Many of us sometimes, we want more than what we have. We work in a job, we get in a decent salary, but we want more. We want to buy a house. Instead of looking for a one-bedroom or two-bedroom, we want to buy a four-bedroom. Instead of looking for a car that we could afford, we want to buy something that is luxurious. We're not content in what we have. We waste money. We do a lot of wasteful things. And I want you to especially to the guys, especially to everyone who work here, if you could just pay your tithes, give 10% to the Lord, it will be a blessing. But also not only to the Lord, but if you could give to missions, you could imagine how many million people throughout the world that you'll be helping at the same time. By just giving. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. I had the privilege of going with Kim to Honduras and others, who went with us. And Kim taught me a lesson. For those 8 days that we were there, I never hear her complain, not once. And you know why she did not complain? Because she knows to be content. And she was a blessing to my wife and to all of us. And Kim, I want to thank you, personally. God love you, and we all love you too. In spite of the trials you faced this year, it was truly a blessing. And to hear Tanisha talk about you almost every day, having you as a roommate, you also bless her, for being with her. And that's why we had to learn to be content, you know, in everything. If you just give from your heart, that's all the Lord is asking you to do. Give from your heart, and you'll be a blessing to others. And it don't have to be a large amount. Sometimes people, we look at giving, you know, hundreds of dollars. But if you just give a little $5 here, a little $10, what you could afford, what is something that would hurt your pocket, that will be a blessing to others. You see, I know because I was in the Gideons. And the Gideons is a ministry that every cent that is go towards the Gideons go towards purchasing New Testament and Bibles. And that's why the Gideons could have reached in 182. I think now is more. By the time when I was there, we was in 182 countries all over the world. So you could imagine how just by giving a little bit, and America is so rich in resources, so rich. You know, the average salary in Honduras is $500 a month. What's the average salary? And here it is, some of us work for $500 a day. These people need us. They also need Jesus Christ. You see, the problem, we have a problem with our heart of giving. Look at in verse 22. Look at God's anger towards Balaam. Then God's anger was aroused because he went. God didn't tell him to go. He went on his own strength. And the angel of the Lord. Now, who is the angel of the Lord here? Come on, all you're supposed to know this. Who is the angel of the Lord? Jesus Christ. Took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn neither to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger arose. Imagine that. God, first of all, we see that God's anger was towards Balaam. Now his anger towards the donkey. And he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" And Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have abused me, I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you." So the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to you? This to you?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. First of all, look how the Lord used a donkey to speak to Balaam. First of all, the donkey actually see the angel of the Lord. Balaam's eyes could not have seen. But the Lord uses a donkey to speak. That's why the Lord could use any one of us. Don't be surprised that you might have a pet dog and one day you go home and the dog starts speaking to you. Don't be surprised. Because the Lord could use anybody on any purpose. You see, it's because he was so disobedient to God. His heart was wrong. His heart was wrong in 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You see, the motive of the of what we do. You see, God has already given him his perfect will. And I encounter that many times. People look at me, you know what I mean? First of all, it had this time I was working in New York. I was driving for one of the richest men in New York City. And every day, I'll park in front of the CBS building because he was the first president of CBS. In fact, he actually built the CBS building. And this girl will pass, and every time she passed, she would just laugh at me. And she keep doing that and that, you know, all the time. And I end up building up courage. So one day, as she was passing, I opened the car door and asked, excuse me, why are you, every time you pass here, you laugh at me? I say, is it because I'm ugly? Is it because, you know, I don't have no chin? I say, you don't know my circumstances. You don't know what caused me to be like that. I say, let me explain to you something. The reason why I have no chin, because I fell down 40 stairs and all this was damaged. This is whole reconstructive, you know, surgery that was done. I say, sometimes we look at people at their appearance, but it's not a laugh upon them because you don't know me and I don't know you. You know, she never passed in front of me. She always passed on the next side. Because we tend to judge people by what? Your outward appearance. You know, like my friend, yes, Steve. People might judge him because he have this big beard. You understand? You might say, you know what I mean? He look like a gringo, or he look like, you know what I mean, a hippie. People might judge him, you know, because of his outward appearance. But they don't know his heart. I mean, I see his heart. His heart is when he's worshiping. He worshiping the Lord. You see, that's what we do. That's the mistakes that we made. Because we always tend to look at people on their outward appearance. And that's why it's wrong. Even in this country, we have so much of racist people. They judge people because either the color of the skin. At one time, I was judged like that already. This is before I actually moved to the United States in 1984. I had an agent, and we went to Pennsylvania, to one of the largest battery manufacturing companies in the world. And I accidentally opened the car door, and it just touched the person's car door. I think he was driving a Volkswagen or something like that. And he came out, and he started calling me all the N-words, and I started to laugh. And I laughed until my agent actually pulled me aside and told me, come, let's go and eat. So while we was eating, he asked me what I was laughing for. I said, look, first of all, the man was calling me, you know, the N-word. And I know from the dictionary, the N is for people who tote load on their back. And I didn't have no load on my back. So I don't know what it is he was, you know, why he was calling me. And this was in 1984. You know, the dictionary now has changed. Because the N-word means something different. Like everything else here changed. Differentiate able. God, the person is a handicap. You know? African-American. I'm no African and I'm no American. I tell them that. Don't call me that. I'm a born Trini. That's my nationality. But people here have a stigma for everything. And it's so wrong. Even Christians fall into that trap. Because that's Satan's tool to destroy the people. And we have to be careful of these things. That's why the Lord does not see what man sees. You see, God has already gave Balaam his perfect will, but he chooses his permissible will. And you know what's the permissible will? God already showed him, this is the will, this is my perfect will, but he allows us to choose. And he choose permissible. Hey, you want to go and do your own thing? Go ahead. God allow these things to happen. In Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's Christian life. That's Christian living. God's perfect will. But we choose His permissible will many times because we want to go and do our own stuff. You know, I don't know, but the culture in this country has changed. Because we experience that. If you go in a foreign country, you have to wear what is acceptable to the people there. But what we Americans doing? And you're going to, yeah, they can't tell me what to dress. They can't tell me what to wear. I go do whatever I want to do. Permissible will. Not God's perfect will. These are the things that when things happen, who bring it upon ourselves? See, because of lack of obedience. Lack of obedience. In Romans 1:5, through Him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience. For obedience. You know, it's always a good idea to obey the Lord. Always. You see, the Lord, it's God's grace. It's God's grace. We need to have our eyes open. We need to have our eyes. The donkey, the Lord used the donkey. The donkey is the only one who could have seen, you know, the Lord. Balaam's eye was black, was blinded because of his disobedience. It's time we wake up. And I don't like this phrase, you know, wake up and smell the coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker, I'm a tea drinker. So I say, wake up and smell the tea. Okay, what we had in Honduras, remember, is a coffee shop we had. Man, that coffee was good. Every day I was drinking chai tea. God, that thing was good. And mind you, the price we pay for coffee and tea there, we would have paid 3 times more in America than what we paid there. That's why every day I was in a coffee shop. It's always good. Always good to listen and to follow the Lord direction. Always good. Always that good idea. See, we need to have our eyes open to the spiritual realm. Look at what happened here. In verse 22. Now the donkey saw an angel of the Lord standing in his way. Saw an angel of the Lord. You know what the donkey was doing? He was protecting his master from getting killed. That's what the donkey was doing. The donkey saved Balaam from the Lord's hand. How much times in our lives that we have been saved because of the Lord's hands in our lives? You never notice, and I say this because it happened to me, and it happened to me a lot in Trinidad. You never notice that you're driving down, like you're going from north to south. And you're driving, and you want to take a shortcut. Because if tell yourself you could reach faster. But all in a sudden, roadblock. This is not where the Lord is leading you to. And you know, you hear something happened, and you say you end up going straight. And the next day, when you read the newspapers, you see some accident or killing on that shortcut that you was going to take. See, we have guardian angels in our lives who protect us. You know, we had to understand that the Lord will protect us once we have a closer relationship with Him, once we serve in Him, once we faithful to His calling in our lives. It happened to me just the other day. I dropped my wife to work. Earlier morning, it was like 6:05. And all in a sudden, this guy with a motorcycle, he hit the wall, flip over. You understand? The car in front, I was right behind him. Car in front slam brakes. I slam brakes. You understand? I looking at the back, the back vehicle to make sure that nobody around me. You know? Thank God, you know what I mean, that the guy end up, he just get up, at, you know, with fright and lean on the wall. My wife said, you know, her nursing instinct is to stop. I said, no, we're going ahead. You know, and everything was all right with the guy. But you see how the Lord protects you. And that was just before, you know, we were going to Honduras. So these are the kind of things that, you know what I mean, how we see that, you know what I mean, that how the Lord protects each and every one of us. In verse 28, then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey and said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, because you have abused me. Is that, I mean, you know, we have animal abuse here. So now this is donkey abuse. I wish I, you know, there was a sword in my hand, for now I will kill you. See, look, I mean, look at the mentality right here. Why you want to kill the donkey? What is our mentality? The first thing is that we want to kill. Murder. So that's a sin right there. Because, you know, his thoughts was to kill. And I'll skip down to verse 31. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. Finally now, the Lord opened his eyes so that he could see the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. That is a worship. That's a type of worship now, because he bowed down. He realized that now, hey, he actually seen God face to face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I've come out to stand against you, because your way is perverse before me. Perverse. Perverse. No, this is the first time we hear this word here. But do you know that Balaam, when we read in chapter 31 and in Revelation, that Balaam, you know, caused Balak to stumble because of sexual immorality? So you see, his heart, he's saying the right things, but his heart was not right. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me. These three times, if she has not turned aside from me, surely I would have killed you by now. Let her live. Let her live, Balaam. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back. Now, he repented for his action. You know, was it sincere? How much of us here have experienced that when something, you know, you get, first of all, there's, you get caught for doing something wrong, right? And you confess your sin. But is that the right confession? Because if you didn't get caught, you wouldn't confess, right? You only confess because you get caught. See, like all this sounding strange to that, looking strange to that answer, right? But we all like that. Every one of us. That's what happened to Balaam here. He confessed because he got caught, because he was going and killed the donkey. But the Lord, the donkey saved his life because the angel of the Lord protect him. Man, sin is something else. Eh? In Colossians 1:9, for this reason we also, since the day we had it, do not cease to pray to you and to ask that we may be filled with the knowledge of his will. You see, it's all wisdom and spiritual understanding. All wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, if you notice something, this entire chapter is based on what? God's perfect will. God's perfect will in our lives. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. If you are here tonight and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, everything I'm saying is foolishness to you. Because you don't believe. And everything comes through Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. He learned that. The things, many times we see things and so on. You know what I mean? Or we do see things. But guess what? Everything is eternal in the eyes of the Lord. And I will end. I'll close here. Because now we're seeing how they end up meeting. Now when Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to meet, in verse 36, to meet in the city of Moab, which is on the border of the Arnon, the boundary of the territory. Then Balak said to Balaam, did I not earnestly send to you, calling to you? Why did you not come to me? I am not able to honor you. And Balaam said to Balak, look, I have come to you now. Have I any power to say anything? The word of God puts in my mouth that I must speak. So Balaam went with Balak and said to Kirjah Huzah. Then Balak offered oxen and sheep, and he sent some to Balaam and to the princes who were with him. So it was the next day that Balak took Balaam and brought him to the high places of Baal, and from there he might observe the extent of the people. You know, there's a couple of things that, you know, we had to examine ourselves, you know, tonight. You see, in 1 Corinthians 1:27, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. You know, if God could speak through a donkey, there's hope for all of us. You see, God uses anybody to accomplish his will and his plan for us. Another U-turn in his relationship with the Lord. Balaam continued to go back to his old life because he didn't fully accept Christ. He did not have a relationship with Christ. He, like some of you, you feel good today. You're in the Word. You graduate. Because I'll tell you something. Many of you have this mentality. 2 months. 2 months, I will see if I can make this 2 months in phase one. And when I go to phase two, I'll have more freedom. I will get back my phone. I could go and get a job. Who will is that? Is that God's perfect will in your life or your permissible will? Because what you're saying is what you want to do, not what the Lord wants from you. You see, the Lord wants to change you inside out. He wants to have a closer relationship with you because each one of you are special in his eyes. Each one of you have a gift, and the Lord wants to take that gift and to use that gift that you have to bring honor and glory to others. It's not about you. You have nothing to offer the Lord. The Lord could have sent many angels to do the work for all of us. But he wants to use you. He wants to use you for his plan and purpose. He wants to grow you. He wants to teach you so that you could be able to go out there and reach out to others who are struggling, just as you struggle. He wants to use you in ministry. Not what you want to do 2 months. After 2 months, I go in and, you know what I mean? I'll see if I can make it to the next 6 months. And after I reach the next 6 months, well, hire your pancho. That kind of mentality will not last. It will not work. Because it's your permissible will that you're leaning on. That's why guys always come back, because they always fail, because they always want to do their own stuff. I had to get a job. I had to get this. Let me tell you something. First priority is God. Second priority is your family. Third priority is your church. Fourth priority is job. See, when you do that in order, your life will be good. But if you put in job in front of God, or in front of your relationship with your family, or in front of church, you're doomed for failure. If I could make it, this is going on 11 years, I have not gotten a salary, you know, to say I have a paycheck. I have not gotten that. But you know where God, guys, he provides? Provide for me. Provide for my family. And if he could do that for me, he could do that for you. Why? Because I put God first. See, you could say all the right things. Are you doing it? Are you doing it? We could say all the right things. Because many of you know that when I teach you guys, all you know everything, all you know the word more than me. Some of you know scripture verses, you know, because they teach you here scripture verses. Some of you could quote scripture verses, but are you living it? Are you living it? So what is that? Those are the important things. Having that relationship with Christ, growing, maturing in the Word. That's what the Lord wants from all of us, every one of us. And I pray today that you will choose Christ, that you will choose to have a relationship with you. Forget about your circumstances. And that song, I will follow thee. No turning back. No turning back. You always look forward. You don't look backwards. Backwards is all the sin and everything that you do. But when you look forward and you focus on Jesus Christ, you will see the blessing of the Lord in your life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. And if that's you this evening who want to make a change in your life, and you're saying enough is enough, I'm fed up with the way how my life living, I want to follow Jesus. There's no turning back. I want to have his perfect will in my life. If that's you, just stand to your feet to make that change. But there's no turning back. No turning back. You know, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some call slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, that none of us should perish, but all will come to the repentance. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for showing us that you could speak through anyone, even a donkey, to show us and to teach us that our dependency is on you. That your perfect will, that's what we strive for, that's what we live for. And I pray for these guys, especially in the program. And I pray, Lord, that they will understand and realize that the problem is not the program. The problem is each and everyone. That they have a sin problem and they need Jesus Christ. And I pray that they will follow you. I pray each and every day that they will grow stronger through your word in your lives. Teach them, mature them, and use them mightily to bring glory unto you. And not only for the guys in the program, but for all of us. Because we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you so much. And thank you, Lord. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for that love. In Jesus' name.